I'm the medical director of the hospitalist program at Wentworth Douglas Hospital in Dover, New Hampshire. There are 14 physicians and 2 mid-levels.
Okay. And what's your, as director, what's your basic split between clinical time percentage and doing administrative work?
Yep, I do basically 50% clinical and 50% administrative.
And what did you do for your practice improvement modules?
Let's see. I did 2 of them. The second one was it was a measure designed to improve our discharge instruction process for congestive heart failure, and it was a discharge checklist that, you know, normally our hospital uses a piece of paper that we fill out for a discharge instruction list, and then the nurses take it and translate it into a computer document that gets printed out. So that we're not completely online yet. We're still kind of half and half. So when we have someone who comes in under diagnosis of certain diseases, we have, you know, pathways and protocols. So we just attached a specialized discharge form to that protocol. So with CHF, when you print out the pathway, it'll also print out the discharge instructions. It's got the checklist for the things that they should have on discharge. I also did it for stroke, which wasn't one of the options in the practice improvement module, but that was what we originally designed it for, was for stroke.
Okay.
To make sure we met the core measures for those things.
Okay. And so now that you've completed the process, I know in your article you said that, you know, you really felt like, you know, this was something that you needed to do and wanted to do and wanted to prove, you know, not only to yourself but to sort of, you know, hospital administration and the people that work for you, that, you know, that you, hospital medicine is, you know, sort of in your blood. How do you really feel about, you know, the process and the test and the whole new program?
Well, I definitely feel like the exam itself was more apropos to what I'm doing every day. Since it was the first time that the test has been offered, we didn't have any, you know, people couldn't teach courses or create review books specifically for this test. So I reviewed everything, including all the primary care stuff, because, you know, I just had no idea if some of that might show up on the test or not. And it really didn't, like colonoscopy screening and timing of mammograms with some with a family history, things like that didn't show up on the test, which makes sense because we really don't do that in our practice. The preparation portion was, it's like anything. It's as far as the modules, the self assessment modules, going through the questions, it was a lot more academic than what we're doing regularly, just day to day in the real world. But that's, you know, I think that turned out to be okay, because I do think that we should all be thinking about things in a little bit more of an academic way than we tend to. You know, when you do something frequently every day, you tend to do it because you've done it 100 times before and not necessarily think through a full, you know, I don't know, a full differential diagnosis, or, you know, start looking at some of the things that may be playing into the treatment that you're using, interactions, things like that. It's not that we're making mistakes because we forget how to do stuff. I think it's just that we're, you know, we sometimes just fall into the trap of doing something by rote. So it's good every now and then to remember exactly what we're doing and why.
Were you nervous when you went to take the test?
I wasn't nervous. I was just ready to be done.
Did you settle down after the first few questions? You're like, oh, I know that answer.
You know, I mean, when I was doing my practice questions, it was a little bit easier because you could go through and the way that I did it was I got my answers immediately. You can do practice questions in some programs that mimic a real test, but that's one thing I found with the test is I never had any feeling that I fully was comfortable knowing all the answers. And I talked to some of there was one other person in my group who took an exam as well, but she took the general internal medicine recertification exam, and she, you know, she studied every review book there was, and she'd been studying a lot longer than I had been, and she felt the same way. I think it's just, it's overwhelming because each section of the test is 50 or so questions, but each question is a case presentation.
Yeah.
So it's like seeing 50 patients in 2 hours.
Yeah. You know, you said that the test was apropos. did it really feel like I was going in to take a hospital medicine?
Right. True. Yeah. I mean, the test questions were stuff that we really do see every day. I mean, it is you know, a little bit different than how we see things, because you get all the information once and you get the electrolytes and you get everything, and then, you know, you come up with a diagnosis right then instead of being able to go through the process of, you know, examining a patient. And, you know, it's not exactly reality, but they can only come so close to reality with an exam.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's the topics that we deal with every day.
Okay. Do you think you passed?
I really, honestly, I have no idea. By the end of that test, I couldn't have told you my middle name, even if it was a multiple choice.
What does it mean to be, to you, to likely be one of the first class of FPMs, FPHMs? Only 140 took the test in October, so I think 400 are enrolled in the program, but at most you're looking at 140, and probably only about half of those will have been completed with all of their other coursework and stuff, so you maybe one of the first 100 to actually be labeled an FPHM. What's that mean?
Oh, it really is a huge honor. I think it's another step in the recognition of our field, and anyone who works in our field knows that in the grand scheme of things, we're still pretty young. The Northeast tends to have even younger programs than a lot of the rest of the country. So, you know, our community here is still, you know, getting used to the whole idea of having hospitalists and why don't I get to see my regular doctor and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But to have that, you know, attached to me and my name as well as our program and our field, I just think that it is really an extreme honor.
Just any advice, both maybe to two different levels, you know, maybe to the early career hospitalists who are probably, you know, 4, 5, 6 years in, but also to program leaders, because I know that you've talked about, you know, program leaders and real, you know, hospitalists who are really digging into the QI, this is probably a perfect thing for them.
Yeah, well, as far as anybody looking at facing the exam at some point in the near or far future, just you can't start early enough, because when you're doing the self-assessment modules, they're, you know, people may feel like if they study for an exam that's in 5 years, it's not worth it. But that's not really studying the exam. It's going through the modules. Going through the practice improvement modules is something that you could schedule so that each year something that you're doing with your hospital for quality improvement anyway could nicely segue into one of those modules, so you can just use that data. And you know, I don't think it's possible to start too early, because I think what they're trying to have us do is look at, it's supposed to be more of a maintenance of certification, like it's called. It's not supposed to be you let it go, your certification expires, and you take the exam, you start up again. It's really, it should be, you know, essentially that 10 years of maintaining your certification.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as people in the field, I think that hospitalists are poised to really change the way that hospital medicine is delivered. And I think that we are probably unconsciously the most competent people in the hospital to be making some of these changes that we need to make coming down the road. You know, we're all facing some of the same things with addressing our readmissions and addressing transitions of care.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if hospitalists look to the answers, you know, within their own groups, we're the ones who are probably going to be able to come up with the best programs and use each other's programs for you know, different ideas of how people are attacking these problems. Because I know within my own hospital, everyone is concerned about some of the same things, but they're really kind of coming to the physicians and saying, what will work, what should we do to address this process? And I think that a lot of the hospitalists in my group, they're relatively young, and they're used to working for people and working for a residency director. And
yeah.
And I really want to tap into what we know, because I think that we could make a big difference.
Yes.